This episode, we're going to be talking about something a little bit more fun. I know we've been super heavy lately on, you know, salary conversations.
You didn't love arguing about salaries?
That was wonderful too.
Can we actually say though, so really the way that we worked together was arguing. It really was. Like, that was how we tended to communicate with each other.
Really?
I really think that.
Okay.
It's not that, like, we got along really, really well. And we respect each other. But I think that led to an environment where we were not afraid to disagree with each other.
Yes.
And normally it was, you know, we would disagree till one of us kind of convinced the other. But there would be times where, and it went both ways, where it would just be like, I hear you, but this is what we're doing, so just get on board.
Yes.
Because this is just, like, just trust me, this is just what needs to happen.
Yes.
And, but it is, like, and I think that's actually why I wanted to do this with you, is because we don't really necessarily, we approach things very differently.
Mm-hmm.
And, we do, like, as friends, we don't tend to argue as much.
Yeah, no.
But, like, professionally, we really, like, I mean, we would spend whole meetings just, like, telling each other the other one was wrong.
Remind me of this time.
We would do it, like, in, I don't want to call it by its actual name, but the cross-functional meetings.
Yes.
We would do it in those.
Okay.
Like, I would be nicer in those to maybe be like, oh, is that what we've talked about? I don't think that's exactly what that, like, let's revisit that. Maybe talk about this next week when we come back. Like, that type of thing. But, mm-hmm. like, in smaller, like, just brand meetings, like, mm-hmm. we would definitely... I think to other people, it would feel very heated. To you and I think it was just like how we communicated.
Because I don't feel like...
But I think to other people, I think until they got used to it, especially if they were newer, I think it was probably a little bit jarring to hear how we would communicate. Because I didn't do that with too many other people.
Right.
I
like being straightforward, and I also value when other people are straightforward with me. And so... we're going to definitely talk about this.
Yeah, I actually didn't even think about how fitting this is for this episode.
Like, this is going to go right into us talking about our personality tests and or just personality tests in general. So, you know, at one point in our careers, I think most of us have taken a personality test of sorts at work. And a quick Google search showed that according to Psychology Today, approximately 80% of Fortune 500 companies use personality tests to assess employees.
The Society for Human Resources Management, or SHRM, published an article on June 1st, 2015, titled, What Do Personality Tests Really Reveal? That while a lot of companies use personality tests for career development, compared to other hiring selection practices, personality assessments are among the least effective in predicting job performances. These personality trait tests, quote, work best when they are combined with other measures such as cognitive ability or integrity tests, end quote.
Many psychologists believe that there are, quote unquote, big five personality traits with acronym OCEAN. So openness, conscientiousness, extroversion, agreeableness, and neuroticism. Although the big five personality tests exist, Michael and I have never taken this test. So we'll focus on the conversation mostly around Myers-Briggs type indicator or MBTI. Which does take into account some of the personality traits mentioned in Big Five.
Wait, why didn't we take that one?
Because...
Is it like...
I feel like MBTI is more commonly known, too. Like, a lot of people, you know, talk about, you know, what are you? And then they apparently know their four-letter acronym.
Yeah. Okay. So before we dive deeper into MBTI, a quick pros and cons of using personality testing in the workplace... an Inc. article titled Biggest Pros and Cons of Personality Tests as Hiring Tools. Pros, you will test it will test on what candidates will do rather than what they will say they've done. Tests avoid unconscious biases. Tests may improve candidate experience. I don't quite understand that last point, but okay. Cons are a company is using the wrong test in the wrong situation. The test itself may be biased. Okay. And recruiting sometimes requires a leap of faith. And as such, personality tests should be one of the many tools used in the hiring process. Okay. So really quickly, or maybe we can... Are we going to cover this later, how the tests can avoid unconscious bias,
yes.
but the test itself could be biased?
Yes.
That's great.
Love that. And that's not just MBTI, right? That's just general personality tests.
Yeah.
And MBTI specifically wasn't created to be used in the hiring process, but rather in development, so developing the person. And a quote from Isabel Briggs Myers, one of the founders, quote, good type of development can be achieved at any age by anyone who cares to understand his or her gifts and the appropriate use of those gifts, end quote. When you understand your type, you can approach your own work in a manner that best suits your style, how to manage your time, problem solving, best approaches for decision making. And it provides overall better understanding so you can cope in the workplace. MBTI is meant to be descriptive, not predictive.
From the MBTI manual, the type indicators explained, so favorite world, do you prefer to focus on the outer world or on your own inner world? This is called extroversion E or introversion I. Information, do you prefer to focus on the basic information you take in or do you prefer to interpret and add meaning? This is called sensing with an S or intuition N. Decisions, when making decisions, do you prefer to first look at logic and consistency or first look at the people and special circumstances? This is called thinking for T or feeling F. And then lastly, structure. In dealing with the outside world, do you prefer to get things decided or do you prefer to stay open to new information and options? This is called judging, J, or perceiving, P.
So the most common type of MBTI is ISFJ with 13.8% of the tested population. And 16 personalities called ISFJ, the defenders, the backbone of the modern workforce. They are altruistic and well-rounded. No other personality type is so well-suited to be of service to others. It is no surprise that many defenders are not just good at supporting their coworkers and customers in human resources and support positions. They genuinely enjoy it as it gives them the chance to calm frustrations, seeing things through a practical solution, and to be thanked, appreciated at the close of each ordeal. And, you know, I don't have these people's MBTI, but I can guess at some of the people that we've worked with in the past who would be an ISFJ.
Oh.
Just based on the description.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can't think of...
Really?
Maybe one. We'll talk about it.
Okay.
The least popular personality types are INFJ, also referred to as advocates, with 1.5% of the population. And according to 16personalities.com, that website is so funny to me because it makes it sound like there are only, and I mean, I guess in this world, there are only 16 personalities,
yes.
But that's so sad. Advocates want to find meaning in their work and want to know that they are helping and connecting with people, end quote. We'll discuss how this test could be have better use in the workplace when where we've worked, and also more about what we think our results were accurate. That sentence made no sense. We're going to be right back. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to talk about it.
We started this episode talking about how we used to work together, and I think it would be fun to relate some of the way we worked with each other and even some of the other people.
Okay.
And just see how it aligns to our MBTI, right?
Sure.
So for you, you are INFJ, which actually is the least popular of the personality
types. I believe it's rarest is how, I don't think they called me unpopular.
Same thing.
Oh, it does. Okay, no, it was least popular. And
yes.
I read it, wow.
Yes.
I'm feeling a little thrown under the bus.
Yes. Least popular, rare, whatever you want to call it.
I'm an advocate, though.
Yes, you are an advocate. And I'm looking specifically at the...
Sorry, I'm a gay left-handed advocate. I am just subverting expectations all
You're a unicorn, Truly. Of the mist. So, so I'm looking at the 16 Personalities website, and
yes.
I'm checking the career path tab specifically to read a little bit more about you. So advocates tend to seek a career path that aligns with their values rather than one that offers status and material gain. Fortunately, people with this personality type are able to find work that suits them in just about any field.
Feels like a read.
And in fact, many advocates have trouble deciding which job is best for them. Because they're able to imagine so many possibilities.
I hate this. Okay, I have not looked at most of this. Nami produced this episode and literally moments before we started recording sent me a website and was like, this is what we're going to talk about. So I'm literally learning this in real time. This is all very, I feel like a horoscope person. This is all very true because it is true. I can find something in almost any job that I like. Mm-hmm. I do gravitate toward training positions. Mm-hmm. Like I like those. But I today could be a chef and I would be happy. I mm-hmm. could be a filmmaker and be happy. Like there are so many things I could be and I would be happy. Like I have so many different interests. And the thing that like I hate about life is that the fact that it is so short, I have to sacrifice like pursuing interests wow. that I love.
Well, okay. So here we go, unicorn. Because you talked about how you like teaching, right? And yeah. so if you scroll down, it talks about advocates want to find meaning in their work, and this desire to help and connect can make roles as counselors, psychologists, teachers. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, these are all very rewarding for advocates. And they're also strong communicators. And this explains why they're often drawn to careers in writing, which you do like writing.
I do write a lot, yeah. Yes.
Music, photography, design, and art, because, you know, you and I had to do a lot of photo shoots, and basically you and I looked at very different things when we were doing photo shoots.
Yeah.
And, you know, this personality type can find ways to help others. They can also find ways to use their creativity in nearly any position, and advocates' insight can enable them to spot unusual patterns and come up with out-of-the-box solutions, creating real challenge in other lives. And I felt like, you know, that was why I enjoyed sparring with you.
Sure.
Because I'm able to, that's how I think too. Like I need to see other different points of views.
Yeah.
Because if it's too linear, then I get frustrated by that too.
Yeah. You also want like an unreasonable amount of information on everything.
I what?
Like you just have to know everything.
Yeah.
Like you have to know as much, which I guess is respect, like respectful is to be respected mm-hmm. in that, like you don't want to make a rash decision mm-hmm. and which to be fair was something that like was a critique of a lot of people where we worked mm-hmm. was that like leadership just made decisions on whims and mm-hmm. like, or they seemed to, and like, it was very jarring. Mm-hmm. Whereas I think you were very pragmatic in your decision making. But yeah, you like, just as a person, like you need a lot of information.
Thank you. I think,
it wasn't a compliment, here, but it wasn't a dig either.
Okay, great. I'm going to take it as a compliment and move on. And then by finding jobs that offer more autonomy, advocates can focus on applying their creativity and integrity to everything they do. I was like, oh, look, Michael, okay. Your next path in life. And all right, so what else did I look at it where I was like, oh my gosh, this is so Michael.
Advocates struggle in work that doesn't take personal needs into consideration, mm-hmm. overly repetitious, or promotes conflict. So it's interesting because I do love chaos. Mm-hmm. And there would be times even at work where I would say or do things just to cause chaos. And it was never, but it's not, I don't like it's not chaotic evil.
Right,
like
right.
I just like, it's not even chaotic good. I just like chaos mm-hmm. and not a lot of it, but just a touch. Mm-hmm. And there would be times where I would throw out a suggestion or an idea that was so off, but just to like, sometimes just to lighten the mood or even just like start up discussion again. Mm-hmm. But like, I do enjoy chaos, and I think that... But on the other hand, I don't like conflict. I can deal with it. I'm not, like, conflict shy, but mm-hmm. I don't enjoy it. In fact, there was someone we worked with that I didn't get along with very well, and I would try to avoid work, mm-hmm. like, talking to them too much,
yeah.
but it's because they were very, like... I don't know. They did not shy from conflict.
Yeah. So I actually moved on to the next tab under
workplace habits. I was looking at that.
Yeah, and so advocates tend to thrive when they have opportunities to express their creativity and insight, and they're especially motivated when they know that what they're doing has meaning. And they also tend to do best when they can ignore workplace politics and hierarchies and simply do what matters to them. You know, most people with this personality type prefer not to think of themselves as above or below anyone else, no matter where they are on the job ladder, which actually, you know, kind of goes back to what we were talking about during break of how you felt uncomfortable asking, you know, certain people for help because...
I forgot we talked about that. Yes. Yeah. So there was a specialist that worked with us that sometimes Nami would be like, just ask them. And I hated asking them because they weren't on my team. Like, so...
So I think, you know, so what do you think, Michael? Do you feel like you are an INFJ?
Yeah. So it's interesting because I hadn't taken Myers-Briggs in a very long time, like probably over a decade. Mm-hmm. And when we were, even before you produced this episode, we were just kind of talking about it. Because to be honest, I wasn't totally sold on this.
Yeah.
I wasn't really into the idea because I don't put a lot into it. And there is so much evidence that Myers-Briggs is not really worth anything. But... This is pretty spot on. Like I definitely, I think now maybe more than when I was younger, the prefer not to think of themselves as above or below. There was definitely a point when I was like a 20 something year old where I was very like elitist, but, I don't think I'm that way. I try to catch myself when I think like that now. The resourcefulness, creativity, I definitely, I mean, we had to be resourceful. They refused to give us resources. but I really want to work. If I have to work for a company, I want the company's values, principles, beliefs, all of that to align with my own, because I don't want to feel bad about what I'm doing. And there would be times where I would push back on things to say, I don't think that this feels ethical. And I think ethical is a strong word sometimes. So I would use it to say, like, we really need to look at this because there's a fine line. And again, working in marketing, sometimes you're really stretching a truth, and I'm fine with that if I can find a truth. But there would be times where I'd have to bring things up to say, I am not finding a truth here. Like, I am not finding, you know, if I can't connect it to something, then I think we need to go a different route. And most of the time, everyone was... almost everyone was like pretty on board with
98%.
That. 99%. There was really just one person that was not into that. But okay, let's look at yours. I'm going to go through yours.
Okay.
So career path. So Nami is an architect, INTJ. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. I'm on the right one. Okay. So... there's a Madame Curie quote. Was Madame Curie and I, like, we don't know that, right? They're just using a random quote. She didn't take my breaks. Okay. So, professional know-how is often where architects shine most brilliantly, but these personalities won't settle for just any career. They want to tackle meaningful challenges and find elegant solutions to important problems, not just tinker and figure in a spreadsheet. Oh, okay. I think you would be very happy just looking at a spreadsheet all day. Would you not?
No. Keep it totally forward?
I think you would.
I think if spreadsheet gave answers to what it is that I'm looking for, then yes. But
you need so many answers. Like, it just goes back. Architects also want the freedom to exercise their greatest strengths. Few personality types, if any, can match their ability to transform complex principles into clear and actionable strategies. Architects know how much they have to offer in their professional lives, and for them, any job that fails to draw on their skills and knowledge is a wasted opportunity. Do you feel that way? Even today?
I do.
I think, like, feeling this way a year ago, I would totally understand, but...
Yes, I mean, I do. And I think that's where, you know, even in my current day, I struggle because I feel like sometimes I have so much bandwidth and my...
Really?
That my brain is just kind of...
I feel like I am busier now than I have ever been.
Yeah, and it's busy, different busy, but I think...
Yeah, because I'm not miserable.
I think, you know...
Am I wrong?
I there are parts of that job that I really, truly enjoy.
No, same.
And when we were, because I think, but when I was leaving, our team was doing well. Like, I do feel like I left at the height of the business and the D team. You know, I didn't feel like it was a sinking ship from a, like, team perspective and what we were doing and accomplishments and things like that. And so now I do kind of feel like, okay, well, even when I'm looking for job opportunities or when I was looking for job opportunities, if it became too siloed in one thing, I'm just not interested. Like, you know, recruiters would reach out and ask, you know, there is a social media position open, and be like, I have no interest in that because social media is just a part of what I want to do. Right. I am more interested in putting together a much larger picture than just looking at social.
Because you've had issues with that in more recent months where like this idea that like marketing and digital marketing are separate things, when at the end of the day, like, marketers are digital marketers, even if they're not titled that way, because, and I think the joke I made was like, we're not putting mailers out anymore. Yes. Like, everything is digital. Like, we very rarely, and anytime we did print anything, it was a big deal. Mm-hmm. Like, we really made sure we had to print it because we didn't like printing. A, it's expensive. Mm-hmm. It's wasteful. It lasts for a moment.
Yes.
Like, no one cares about your printed piece.
Right.
And so, you know, typically it was for a very, like, select group of, you know, it was really, really, we were really careful. Okay. So, some personality types that are drawn to jobs, some personality types are drawn to jobs that require non-stop teamwork and interaction, but architects tend to prefer lone wolf positions. I don't see that in you.
Yeah, but
because you never left me alone.
But continue.
By working alone or in small, like, I would sit at my desk and, like, you would just pop up and, like, okay, by working alone or in small groups, they can make the most of their creativity without constant interruptions from curious coworkers or second-guessing supervisors. Architects really do believe that if you want something done right, you'd better do it yourself. Okay, well, if I still had my email account, I could pull up a lot of, like, Michael, can you do this for me? So I think that part's true. And me going, okay, not me. The other side of that coin is that architects have little respect. Oh, yeah, so I was reading this part actually while you were talking.
Yeah.
I'm really excited for this. The other side of that coin is that architects have little respect for anyone who gets ahead based on networking or nepotism rather than merit. People with this personality type value resourcefulness, grit, insight, and commitment in themselves and in others. I'm sorry, this is more common than my personality type, which is just like, do the right thing. God, they believe everyone should get their work done to the highest possible standards. So if a social butterfly at work breezes through without carrying their own weight, architects may feel called out to use their ingenuity to bring that person back down to earth. Jeez. You are so mean.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so a couple things.
Defend yourself.
I think.
This is not flattering. Is it flattering to you?
So, working as a lone wolf.
What does that mean?
You know, I think for me,
we had an open concept office.
Yes. I did love working, you know, my own office. I think it's just, I also know my strengths and weaknesses. And so I would rely on, you know, like, I would hit you up for questions and ask you to do things if it was something that I knew you to be the expert.
What? In the beginning, it was a time thing.
Yes.
Let's just.
Yes.
It did get to a point, though, where, yes, it was just, I either had the background that would, it would be quicker. Mm-hmm. Or, no, I never cared. Like, if something needed to be done, I was going to do it. Yeah. I was just joking.
But I do think that, you know, if I take myself out and put myself back into, like, you know, business school and, you know, undergrad, when I had a lot of group projects.
Yeah.
You know, I was always the one that was proofreading. I was the one that was always looking at the, you know, all the slides, making sure everything went together. I was always the one who volunteered to do the last check.
That's true. Because,
you know, there's a part of me that's like, no, like, someone has to do it, and that person is going to be me. Yeah. So I think that part kind of plays into that whole, like, yes, you know, by working alone. But I do like working in small groups, which this paragraph did talk about, where, and but the small group also has to be, you know, like, my brain just needs to be stimulated in different ways. Like, if we all sat around and we all had very linear conversations, like, no, I don't need that, right?
Yeah.
Because I already know what I need to do. And so, but if people were able to bring different perspectives that made, you know, that came from a place of insight, right? Then it's like, okay, like, let's talk about it. And that is something that, because I think kind of snowballing all that together, like different opinions or information that people bring, and then making a bigger idea out of it, that was something where I felt like I really enjoyed doing.
Sure. No, that makes sense. And I think it does speak too to why we worked so well together, because we were always looking at very different aspects. Mm-hmm. Where, you know, we were looking at different aspects. That's not even true. We were looking at the same things through different lenses. Mm-hmm. Because you were always looking through a more analytical of, like, mm-hmm. is this hitting demographic? Is this hitting wherever?
Yeah.
Whereas I was looking at the creative, asking myself the same question, but, like, through a creative lens, mm-hmm. of, like, is the story we're telling relevant to this or whatever?
Yeah.
Not that we did, like, heavy, heavy storytelling. Mm-hmm. Our storytelling was a little bit lighter and mm-hmm. generally more for us.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't really come through in a lot of our marketing. I don't think as strongly as, mm-hmm. like, a Peloton commercial or something like that would. But so this is interesting. So many architects pursue low profile but high Many architects pursue low profile but influential roles as project managers, system engineers, marketing strategists, I'm really excited, systems analysts, and military strategists. The truth is that architects can excel in just about any role. Okay, this is starting to sound like the last one.
Mm-hmm.
Some careers with strong social components, such as sales or human resources, might not fit. Oh, wait. No, this is so confusing. Okay. So some careers with strong social components, such as sales or human resources, might not seem like obvious fits, but fortunately, architects know how to look beyond the obvious. These personalities have the creativity and vision to make important contributions in any workplace, and these skills certainly give them a leg up if they chose to start their own business. I think all that's great. I'm a little confused about how the social components, like, fit with the lone wolf thing.
I mean, that's the thing about architects. I think what it's saying is that architects will still get the job done. So they'll find creative ways to get job done, because that is the end goal. And that's why, you know, architects, like people who are resourceful, has, you know, integrity, has grit, because I think you tend to like people who you relate to, and that's the type of people that you relate to or look up to. And that military strategist was hilarious, because I went to, like, this host, like a cafe where they, like, they give you a reading, right? And
like a psychic cafe.
Yeah, psychic cafe. And this was in high school when I, you know, lived in Korea.
In Korea?
Yeah,
oh,
and
okay. That was, like, because that sounds very LA.
No, that was very in when I was in high school.
Interesting.
So you would just go to cafes, and honestly, you're going for, like, coffee and stuff like that. But, you know, it's just something, it's entertainment value, right?
Sure.
And so he was doing my reading, and he goes, huh.
Always a good sign.
Huh. He goes, have you ever wanted to become a general? And so when you said military strategist, I just, like, oh my God, like, it reminded me of that.
No, it's interesting you say that. So workplace habits for an architect, which I have alluded to this in the past, architects may be harsh or dismissive toward people that they don't respect. And unfortunately, losing their respect can be all too easy. So I didn't read that whole sentence before reading. However, I have alluded to you coming off that way sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
I've always thought it was funny, so I never really cared. There was one, if you want me to cut this later, I will. Okay. There was a meeting, it was my very first meeting, cross-functional. For like, I had just met you maybe the day before. Didn't go to the meeting because you sent me the wrong invite. And you're like pinging me. You're like, where are you?
I had a lot of jobs.
You were doing a lot. So then I get to the meeting because it's in another building, which I mean, isn't far away, but I had to like run to the other building. It was a smaller cross-functional meeting for whatever reason. And you were just sitting there listening to someone. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden your head just like tips back and you go, because you were so unhappy with whatever was being presented.
I have no idea.
I don't even remember what it was or who was even talking, which is probably for the better. Yeah. But it was the funniest thing. And all, I think I even like looked at you and I was like, no, you can't do that. What are you doing? you don't always have a lot of patience. But again, I think it's very funny.
I think, you know, sometimes though it is. Okay, so a couple things I think. For me, it's not personal, right?
No.
And that's where, you know, if I'm unhappy with something being presented, it's not the person. It is, okay, this isn't aligning to maybe what we're talking about.
And you don't
want to
waste time on it. Yeah. Because you would even cut me off sometimes. If, you know what I mean? Like, if I was saying something that you either didn't understand or just wasn't as, you would just be like, oh, okay. Like, let's just move on to the next thing. Which I think at first, of course, I was kind of like, oh, okay. But like, once I got used to it, I was just kind of like, oh, okay. She's like, she's not into this. And but at that point too, like at the end of the day, you're the director. What am I going to do? Like, I can't, who am I going to talk to? Like, if, and again, if I really felt strongly, I just knew I would just bring it up later. Yeah. And if anything, I'd be like, hey, can I catch you later? Can we walk back together? Whatever. Because and then just be like, this is what, like, this is why I'm so insistent on this. Right. It didn't happen very often. Yeah. But so one thing as a subordinate, you might find it difficult to restrain themselves from offering their bosses feedback and criticism. Do you find that difficult to restrain yourself?
To give criticism to my bosses?
I don't think you do.
No.
I mean, struggle implies that you don't want to do that.
That I struggle with giving?
Yeah. Let me find it. They may also find it difficult to restrain themselves from offering their bosses feedback and criticism.
Yeah, so I don't mind giving feedback, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm asking. Yeah. I don't think you do.
Yeah, no, I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So few architects choose jobs that require constant teamwork and social interaction, which we've already talked about, which I think is strange because that's like all marketing is, is constant teamwork and interaction. Like you can't do marketing by yourself. It'd be really hard. And for like a big, like something small, sure, but like a big, anything that's making, you know, $1 million.
I think everyone needs to have a clear role on a team, right? And that's the important part. So for me, it's like putting together the puzzle pieces and knowing that everyone's going to bring their part into it. And that part of group work, I don't mind. And I think even as an introvert, socially, I tend to open up a lot more once I get to know
you. Are
you
an introvert?
I am an introvert. INTJ.
Well, but that's sure. Okay.
I don't, and I think that's why I do have a difficult time connecting with people that I just meet because I am very closed off.
But you yourself prior to any, like, you would identify yourself as an introvert.
Yes.
That surprises me. Yes. Because I feel like you're very social.
But that's because you know me from work and at work.
No, I'm talking about like your personal life. Like, you have a lot of friends.
But they are all friends.
Don't you have, like, holiday parties and stuff?
Well, I've opened up
I cannot
to
imagine. I would never.
No, but I think that's the thing. You know, I'm not in, like, I have a wall.
Sure.
You know,
when I get that. I do, too.
And once you kind of go through that, like, wall, then I'm a lot more open and, you know, and that's why I'm able to have friendships. and also, I think at work, what I also try to do is within my team is that I do create the relationship so that you know, anyone who's working, you know, with me on the team feels comfortable approaching me. So that, okay.
Well, you can finish.
Yeah, so that, you know, if let's say we're in a larger meeting and we're like getting into topics that honestly in a 1 hour format meeting, like there are things that you need to get to.
Sure.
And if I cut you off, then the person can know that they can come to me later to talk about it if there was an important point, right?
Sure. I mean, I don't think that's like an inherent thing. Yeah. So generally speaking, architects prefer to treat those who work for them as equals. Mm-hmm. Rather than micromanaging, mm-hmm. they aim to direct broader strategies while letting other people handle day-to-day activities. Mm-hmm. That is you.
Yes.
Like, but that's also, I mean, I haven't had employees or direct reports in a very long time, mm-hmm. but when I did, or even when I had independent contractors, when I covered a smaller area, because in the last role, we were international. Mm-hmm. I was touching them less. That's not what I mean, but like, I wasn't as much involved in the day to day of the contractors that I worked with.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, there you go. But when I was seeing my contractors like all the time, that was one of the things that I really put a lot of trust in them, mm-hmm. to the point that there were times where like they weren't supposed to like book themselves mm-hmm. for things, but if someone approached them, we're like, hey, like whatever, and I would just mm-hmm. be like, yeah, whatever, like just take, you know how to do it, just take care mm-hmm. of it. But on the flip side of that, I also, and I think you're similar to this in that, like, if someone makes a mistake, mm-hmm. you have to tell me.
Yes.
Like, I'm not going to get mad. Mm-hmm. You have to tell me so we can fix it. I mm-hmm. will show you how to fix it. I will, whatever. I mm-hmm. do not care. If you make the same mistake over and over and over, that's where I start getting upset. Mm-hmm. But like, if you make a genuine mistake,
yeah.
who cares? Mm-hmm. It happens. I am not going to ever get mad over a mistake. It could be, I cannot think of a mistake. And I've had huge, huge mistakes happen under me. Mm-hmm. I don't care. Mm-hmm. It is a mistake. Sometimes are things out of my control and a mistake is a bigger deal, unfortunately. But like, am I personally ever going to get mad over a mistake? No. Mm-hmm. I don't get paid enough to care. Secondly, it's just like not that big of a deal. And at the end of the day, like what we were dealing with was shampoo. Like, you know, and when I left, I remember texting you, I was never going to cry over shampoo again.
Yes.
And I haven't. Mm-hmm. Mission accomplished. These managers respect and reward proactive behavior, delegating responsibilities to employees with the strongest critical thinking skills. But this freedom isn't just granted, it's required. Again, I agree with that for you. It is. To work even with you, even like in tertiary, mm-hmm. you don't want to talk a lot about details. Mm-hmm. Everything was very big picture and the details were to be brought back to you later. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, but for the most part, especially like, again, like with my functional expertise, like, generally, I didn't share details back because mm-hmm. it was understood between the two of us that I knew what I was doing.
Yeah.
And so if you gave me a general idea, I'd bring you back something mm-hmm. and you would let me know at what kind of percentage I was hitting what you were looking at. Mm-hmm. And then we'd just adjust and adjust and adjust. Yeah. Employees who struggle to direct themselves, who just want to be told what to do, may have a hard time meeting an architect's standards. Do you agree with that?
Yes.
Yeah, I would agree with that for you.
I don't like micromanaging. And so if I have to give you a list of things to accomplish, then I do get frustrated. And honestly, I think a lot of that had to do with the fact that we were under so much resource constraint that I really didn't have the time to sit there with some people and just go through A through Z.
Yeah. No, I get that. The last thing, anyone who tries to cover up bad results with flattery or excuses is likely to be disappointed. Do you think flattery works with you?
Not really.
No. I don't know if I have been told, I don't disagree. I can be charming. Mm-hmm. I don't think I've ever tried to do that with you, mm-hmm. like to get out of anything. Mm-hmm. Cause I think generally if I didn't want to do something, I would just tell you I didn't want to do it. And search was really the only thing that was ever like, please do not ever make me go to a search meeting ever again.
But I appreciate honest feedback, right? And I think that is where sometimes people think that I'm being too tough, like when I'm being honest and straightforward. And I've, you know, also adjusted my style over the years where I do try to cushion the blow so that it doesn't sound, you know.
Yeah, I'm a very different manager than I was 10 years ago.
Yeah, and I think a part of it also is, you know, I used to say this a lot, is if I had this approach as a male person, male versus female, it would also, it might be taken by the other person in a different context, perhaps.
Yeah.
Because I think women have traditionally been looked at to be more emotional. And so they are supposed to be more, you know, more empathetic, right, than your male counterpart. And there's a lot more expectation on women to do that versus a male boss.
Sure. I think that you bring up a good point, something I didn't think of. Because to be honest, we worked in a pretty woman-dominated environment, which I actually do prefer. Growing up professionally, I have had a majority women leaders.
Okay.
And I have immensely enjoyed them versus most of the men that I have worked under. I think you're probably right. I don't know, though, because when you left, people were like, I think it surprised you how upset people were. I mean, the entire department, really. And that was like over 100 of us.
Yeah.
I think we're really shocked. I mean, I wasn't shocked, but I was sad with everyone else. Because your last whatever, like the kind of last happy hour, whatever, like, it was literally just like nice story after nice story about you, which I even messaged you and I was like, this is surprising me. Like, and I was like making little jokes about like, do these people remember that? Like, you yell at them every week and you tell them their ideas are bad. Like, like, I don't know. These are not the same people I feel like we work with, but I think, you know, I understand what you're saying of like, I could, if someone were to say Nami is harsh or comes off harsh, I would get it. I've never heard that though. Like, everyone always really liked you. I don't think, I never thought you were harsh. There was only one time you ever actually yelled at me.
Did I?
You yelled at
me. I apologize.
You yelled at me and someone else in marketing. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I remember.
It was about a retailer. And you were really, really mad at us.
Yeah. Because it was a sensitive retailer.
It was a sensitive retailer at a sensitive time.
Yeah.
And and it was honestly just something that slipped through the cracks.
Yeah.
It was you had really for the first time kind of stepped back to like be a director again because you weren't involved in the day-to-day. And it was really just me and someone else not quite understanding something that should have been done differently.
Yeah.
And so you pulled us into a room, you pulled it up onto a screen, and you yelled at us for like 3 minutes. And I don't know if it was that you saw that we were just like sitting there and just like, we're sorry.
Yeah.
I mean, we didn't try to, we were just like, sorry. Like, we didn't know. And I don't know if you understood, like, I don't know if you just had to get it out or what.
Yeah.
And it's never bothered me. We had actually, the other person I would talk about from time to time at the time Nami yelled at us.
Oh, that's horrible.
No, but it wasn't a bad, I mean, I don't think they cared. I think if anything, because they were newer, I think they were probably like, oh, like, it was just, we messed up. And we did mess up. We knew that. Like, and we just didn't know it until you told us very loudly. And so, but that was the only time, because that's the one thing I will say professionally that I always dread is like the first time you like disappoint somebody.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was always worried about that with, especially when I first came into that role, because I had a different manager and that manager was higher, you know, level or whatever. And I was always terrified of disappointing them because I don't want to disappoint anybody. And I was new in the role. I felt like everyone was kind of taking a bit of a chance on me. And so I think that was kind of the first time I realized, like, okay, so I can mess up, because at that point I really hadn't.
Yeah, yeah.
Or maybe even that standards maybe not that standards were lower, but I think we were letting certain things pass because mm-hmm. we just didn't have capacity to catch everything. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But I think that was the point I realized, like, okay, we have more people now. Mm-hmm. We have to be a little bit, you know, more detail oriented. Mm-hmm. And to be honest, I just didn't know it was that big of a deal. Mm-hmm, like mm-hmm. I actually thought we were doing a good thing. Mm-hmm. And then you told us we weren't. That's fine.
No, I remember. And yeah. I think that was kind of like where I was reaching my breaking point too.
I could see that.
Where everything
was... Because you were still handling other stuff.
Yeah. And then I was getting pressure from the top and it was... It just felt like I was inside a giant pressure cooker. It manifested in ways that I... don't necessarily, like, I don't want to sit here and defend because...
Do you have to.
No. But I do want to get it out because that is one of the reasons as to why I was like, I need to go because this is not who I want to be, you know? And in terms of, yes, like, my personality is my personality, but I do think that, like, at a given job, I get work done, right? And sometimes... And I do build relationships with people. And I was really shocked, though, that a lot of, like, so many people cried when I left.
I mean, it was shocking. And it was, like, a full hour of just people crying.
Yeah,
And I will say, because I didn't cry. I almost did, because I did tell a story.
Yeah.
I almost did. I didn't, though. And... it just really, really surprised me because the other thing, and this did not escape me, mm-hmm. and I don't think it escaped a lot of people, is almost every single story was like, well, Nami was doing her job plus like three others, and she hired me, and she trained me, and like, and it was literally like just like half the marketing department talking about how you had like been so integral to like their entire career. And, it was just, I remember pinging, or maybe I even texted you, and I was like, who are these people? And like, how do they not remember everything that you've ever done? Because, I don't know. We used to joke about it. I never thought you were harsh or anything.
Yeah. I think, you know, I don't mind having conflict at work as long as it's healthy conflict, right? It's because I do think that, you know, and conflict is such an ugly word for it almost because, you know, not everyone can have same ideas. And I think that's the beauty of having people of different backgrounds, different expertise coming together, because then you can make a better idea out of it, right? By talking it through, by expressing different opposing views or, you know, similar views, but a little bit different, right? Like, I think that's where the beauty of collaboration really comes. As long as everyone is looking at the broader vision of what needs to get done. And so I think for me, like, I've always enjoyed that aspect of it. But I think when especially, you know, sometimes people may take that as, whoa, like, you know, and I'm like, no, like everyone, I do really do treat people like they're equal to me. And so I think that's where, you know, sometimes I was like, oh, okay, well, I do have to then cater or manage the way I come off sometimes because I do know that I am a INTJ, right? Sure.
So I guess to kind of start wrapping things up, what do you think of these? Was this whole episode a waste? Do these mean anything? Like,
no, I think, you know, for me as someone who managed others, it's always... because not everyone's like you, right? And sometimes it's hard to figure out how to manage some people. And so, because again, they need things that are a lot different from you as a person. And so they're motivated by different things. And I think, you know, had we taken the time out where I was able to sit with my team and we were really able to do this as almost like a, you know, team bonding or team building experience, it would have, I think, helped me cater my communication somewhat to some people on the team. Because, you know, when I do come off giving off feedback, it's not that I mean to give just the negative feedback, but I'm like, okay, like, of course you're doing well. That's why you're here in the first place, right? But I'm not the type of person that needs to feel like I need to give out a gold sticker every time.
Is that feedback that you had gotten that you only focused on, like, opportunities?
No, I mean, it's not.
Is that just something you think?
Sometimes,
yes. Oh, I don't think so. You were always, I feel like you complimented a lot.
And I try to get the team more of a public recognition than anything else.
Yes, that's a fair point. I think you, that's actually probably something I didn't think about, is I think that, yeah, I think you worked hard to get us broader recognition than sometimes maybe. And I mean, in like cross-functional meetings, you would always tell us that we did a good job or whatever, mm-hmm. if we did.
Yeah.
Because even, especially the cross-functional teams, because they touched almost everything. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I think it's, as with any cross-function, mm-hmm. you're going to work harder for the people that you like. Yeah. And I used to tell you this all the time, yeah. when it came to the salespeople,
yeah.
where I was like, if you're too hard on them or too whatever on them,
yeah.
they don't want to sell the brand.
Yeah.
And I, because I was there, and yeah. if someone pissed me off,
yeah.
there would be times where I'd be like, you know what? I'm not going to sell that oil because you made me mad. So the first
yeah.
month,
yeah.
I'm not even going to touch it, and I'm yeah. going to pick it up the month after. So I still hit my number. I don't care about your
yeah,
number.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and was everybody petty? Probably. But there would be times where I would like caution the team to mm-hmm. say like, oh, we can't go so crazy mm-hmm. all the time, because at the end of the day, we still need them to like us,
mm-hmm.
because if they like us, they are more likely to think of us.
Yeah.
Because, you know, our salespeople were selling what, 8 different things. Mm-hmm. Like our salespeople were so ridiculously overworked mm-hmm. that like, yeah, sometimes you had to do everything you could to get them on your side. And sometimes that was just being nice or
yeah.
finding expensive yeah. prizes for them.
Yeah. And I think it's like, again, something that I have to work through in my career is that my first reaction to someone presenting me something isn't, unless it was amazing, it wouldn't be great job. Here's
sure.
a goal sticker, right?
Yeah.
Because for me, when you know I like something, you know I like it.
Yeah.
And I think if we work together, there is also, there's something that you get out of knowing that, oh, like she genuinely liked it versus, oh, she's just trying to make me feel better.
Well, I think you are someone that people naturally like just want to do a good job for. Like,
I
mean that in a nice way of like, I again, it goes back to like, I never wanted to disappoint you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you, I didn't even work for you. At the end of the day, like once I got the job, like, they weren't going to promote me anyway, so it's not like you were standing in the way of that. So I think that, yeah, I think that you are someone that people just naturally want to do good work for. On the topic of personality tests, I will say I'm slightly like more impressed with this than mm-hmm. I thought I was going to be, because I thought this was going to be very horoscope.
Mm-hmm.
You could read someone the wrong one and it's
yeah.
going to apply to you. Because the architect one, there definitely were traits, of mm-hmm. course, that I identified with. But on the kind of whole, I don't like working alone.
Mm.
I was one of the few people who really struggled when we went remote,
mm-hmm.
Because it was a lot less fun.
Mm-hmm.
Like I had a lot of fun at work for mm-hmm. a long time because mm-hmm. I was with people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
When I had to sit in my studio apartment by myself for 8
yeah.
hours a day,
yeah.
it just got less fun.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I think especially in marketing, you were talking about, we would do photo shoots, we would do video shoots. Like we would do stuff that, again, like shooting, I actually hate shoots.
Mm-hmm.
I hate marketing shoots, but
you know, I hate them too,
but they're fun. Like you still have fun those days,
yeah.
but the lead up and it's
yeah.
once they're over, I like the post I'm fine with. I can look and critique Photoshop, edits all day long. Like I actually really enjoy that.
But remember like I was the peanut gallery with your former boss
yes.
and you're like, you guys are not allowed to sit next to each other
again. Because I was stressed that day. It was my first brand shoot I had ever done.
Yeah.
We have talked about that. I didn't like doing hair at that point. And
yeah.
so I had hired someone and I had someone else helping us to
yeah.
kind of really do the hair. And then I was kind of finessing it on set. But no, what you two were making me mad about is I was struggling. And no matter what I did, it was just, oh, it just does not look good. And then, and I would hear you two laughing and like, oh, it was, and I, yeah, I did tell you, I was like, you two are never allowed to sit next to each other at a shoot again.
Yeah, we egged each other on.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and it got to where I think I even went to her and I was like, you have to go. Like, I cannot have you here right now because you are bothering me, which she, again, and she, she was someone I think was mostly funny. I don't know. Maybe I just find that personality type. Because I think she's very similar to this.
Yeah.
If I had to, out of the two, mm-hmm. I would pick her.
Yeah, she's definitely more this of than an architect more you.
Than an advocate. But yeah. I always thought she was very funny. I always thought you were very funny. And there were times where I would try to make you mad because I thought it was funny.
Thanks, Michael.
Yeah, it's very advocate of me. So, all right, we're well over time. You can follow us on Instagram at Corporate Rehab Pod for real time thoughts and reactions to things. We post some funny like memes and stuff. Please leave us a rating and review on whatever podcast platform that you are listening to us on. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you, Nami.
Thanks, Michael.
Bye.
Bye.